Aloha and welcome to the podcast.
This is the Girl Meets Girl podcast, episode number 91.
91.
My name is Toast.
And I'm Sienna.
And this episode, the main topic is about the best indie music scene ever. Ooh. Wow. Can we live up to that? Well, I just had a really nice feeling while we were doing our gigs this past weekend. Yeah.
And so we'll tell them all about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a great experience. It ran the gamut.
So we are 9 episodes away from Cake.
From the 100th episode Cake?
Yes.
We're going to copy the sitcoms. Is that what they do? That's why, right?
Well, I mean, we'll have a small one.
Like a cupcake.
That small.
Alrighty, folks. Hope you had a good week. Hope your March, the month of March, has been good to you and that you've been good to it and each other.
You know, I think March kind of just flew by.
You know,
didn't it just fly by in a way?
Didn't 2008 just fly by?
I thought it was just St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. Was it?
Pretty crazy.
You know
why?
Because what's going on?
Because there are so many exciting things going on in the world today. That's why. And we'll talk about some of that later. All right. So, okay. So we have some contest winners.
Right? Shouldn't we make them listen to the whole thing? That's mean, because you know what? They can just jump over to the end if they want to.
They can just pause us.
Aww.
All right. So for the month of March, we are holding a contest for people to win an autographed copy of Ikenna by Tia Carrere and Daniel Ho.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Grammy winner for Best Hawaiian Music Album.
Yes.
This past year. And we got some winners.
We do.
Okay. So here we go.
All right. And by the way, you're going to have to wait just a little while for your prizes because I know you all want the Nitya signature on there too.
Right.
So, but we're not just going to give you the Daniel signature on the CD.
Right, right.
But Tia's recording, she's filming a movie in Hawaii right now.
So we have to wait for her to finish
so
that.
So we have to wait. So unless, back, I mean, if some of you want just Daniel's signature, we are picking those up on early April. So if you want just his and are fine with it, then that's fine and we'll send it to you. But, okay, so we have 3 winners.
In alphabetical order.
Oh.
Yeah? What you think? Alphabetical order. Okay.
Whatever.
Whatever. Holland.
Woohoo!
Congratulations, Holland.
Now, these winners are chosen at random.
Yes.
And what they had to do was review something and send it to us.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, something, so, not just something.
Well, us or the podcast.
Okay. Don't worry. And then we'll do another contest for April, yeah?
Yes.
So next month we'll have another contest.
So Holland is one of the winners. And next winner is...
Hugh. Hugh.
But it's not really Hugh.
Hugh. That's who emailed us. Hugh. I'm going to go by... Isn't that... Wasn't it that...
It's our friend who's going by Hugh because he has a very clever email name. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, David. David. Yes. Oh, okay, okay. David. I get so confused with people's, you know.
Because we actually know Hugh. But see, his is Humanity. Mr. Manatee.
Yeah.
Mr. H. Manatee.
H. Manatee.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so David, you are a winner and our last winner. For this contest
is
sounds like bees.
I'm trying to get the snare in there. You know, the snare. Vicky,
also known as Viv. Yeah, so don't get confused.
No,
I'm confused.
You people are just messing with our heads because Hugh and David and Viv and that's okay. It's okay.
Viv and Vicky.
You know what, though? We're pretty confusing ourselves because my name is Toast. Your name is Sienna. And then
we have a cat named
Kuman. When we do music, we can't just be Sienna and Toast. No, we have to be McKenna. And then when we do a podcast, we can't just be like, oh, this is Sienna and Toast podcast. No, it has to be Chromie's Girl. So
it doesn't have to.
Well,
don't be a why victim. Did we don't be a victim, Toast.
I've been that's been something, you know, in my head. Like, how is it? Are we okay with that? Like, we have so many different names for what we do, and it's okay. I can handle it.
Okay.
All right. So congratulations.
Boy, I'm tired now.
To our winners.
Okay.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's take a break. Come back.
Nina.
Okay.
Smoke break. So congratulations. So now what's the next?
I don't know. We'll find out when when April comes.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to have a special series in April.
April is very exciting because we've been getting a lot of questions about vegetarianism. More vegetarianism than veganism. And they've actually come trickling in.
Over the past month. Actually, here earlier. And there, popping up, yeah.
Earlier. So we finally decided to have a month of how to go vegetarian. We'll take you step by step if that's something you might want to do. So tell all your friends who might be interested to listen to the podcast, and we promise we won't be so gay. Actually, I shouldn't make that promise.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
no,
I take that back. Okay. So April will be an exciting show, and we actually have several prizes waiting in the wings, so we'll decide which one we're going to give away for April. And
even if you're not interested in going vegetarian, that's not the only thing we're going to talk about.
Right.
So...
So but we're just letting listen. You know our plans.
Okay. Okay. And as a segue of talking about our Hawaiian themed gigs this past weekend, have a little commentary about spam, because one of the comments from listener Dale was about him wanting to, you know, explore going vegetarian, but he has a tough time because he's trying to think of a substitute for the spam in Spam Musubi, but he can't really think of anything. So I just wanted to share this little audio bit with you about one of the ingredients listed in the spam can, which is sodium nitrite. And after this little bit, then we'll share about our gigs this past weekend.
A tiny amount of sodium nitrite is used to help spam keep its gorgeous pink color. Without it, all pork items would turn gray. And no one wants that. Bacon, salami, ham, and so many other delicious items contain small amounts of sodium nitrite. It should really be renamed Pinkification!
See, so Dale, you probably don't want spam now.
He just needs a substitute.
Well, maybe he does want spam, because sometimes I want spam.
Yeah.
That gorgeous
just have
pink
to
color.
Think of a substitute. Okay.
Or not. And we'll have more tips next month.
More tips. Okay, so, man. You know, right now I'm kind of feeling like how I felt when we were driving out to our Sunday night gig this past week. Because I swear, on the drive out there, I was so sleepy. I was doing everything I could to not fall asleep. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
I totally remember. And I was getting worried that I would have to inject you with, like, caffeine somehow. Somehow. But so the way the weekend started, we actually had a luau gig on Saturday evening for the Nisei Week Foundation's fundraiser. So we had that Saturday evening, and coming from that, we have our church gig Sunday morning. So we wake up very early for that gig because we do the sound and we do everything under the sun at that church. So that's what we had. And then because we have our sound system for the church gig, it was really important for us to drive all the way home from that gig, to unload everything, change for the evening's event, and drive all the way back out to Anaheim to get ready for that gig. And we needed to be there about 2:30 if possible. So that's kind of the backstory. So Toast was tired like midday.
Yeah, I was really surprised by how tired I was, actually. Okay, but enough about me.
Well, you know what I want to mention? I want to mention that also something that kind of threw a wrench in the wheel, the spinning wheel of gigging, was the wind. It was so windy, you guys.
It was extra windy on Sunday.
I don't know what was going on, but we have a giant potted kind of like a... It's from the Bird of Paradise family, but it looks like a... what does it look like? It looks like a banana leaf giant plant. We have that in the back, and we have anthuriums and some other potted plants. But that's the big giant plant that we have.
It fell over.
It flew off the stoop, and the little kitty condo that I have outside for the cat that comes to visit, I actually had that weighted down with something. That flew off.
So I was out there in my nice, you know, dress pants and shirt and then picking up clumps of soil with my hair all blowing. Yeah, I didn't get the actual miles per hour, but it was very windy.
It was so windy, so windy that even though this gig was indoors, we were both windburned from just going to the car, unloading our equipment, going back to the car. It was so windy.
Yeah, the kind where your face is like, feels tender, feels sunburned kind of,
yeah.
It was windburned.
Totally felt sunburned.
So, yeah, that was interesting. But by the time we got to Anaheim, you know, still like dragging feeling, but just meeting up with Daniel again, and then Herb Ota Jr., who is also performing in the concert as an ukulele virtuoso. That we got energized because we really liked them, and we got to start playing music and rehearsing and just laughing, and you know, the venue starts filling up and it just gets your energy going again, because you have to show up, you know, you have to show up. And this concert was a classic, and I love this about it. A classic example of a really vibrant, full of heart, and also sustainable independent music scene, because it was actually held in the gymnasium of a Buddhist church, a large Buddhist church in Orange County. And, you know, they had laid down, I guess, tarp over the wood floor to protect
like
the floor.
Silver tarp.
And they put out a whole bunch of brown folding chairs very neatly. And in the back of that, they had merchandise tables, you know, people selling all kinds of different, of course, music, but also T-shirts, and even somebody selling handcrafted instruments, ukulele and upright bass.
But on the chairs, I just got to give them the visual. On the chairs, they had beautiful purple satin cushions on each chair. So when you walked by, beautiful silver floor, silver mat flooring, and then chairs just so perfectly arranged with beautiful purple cushions on them. And when we saw that, because Toast and I have performed in this at this venue before, but it was for a fundraiser. So the fundraiser, the gymnasium was actually filled with round tables, a bunch of them, and it was like a dinner show. So when I saw those chairs with the purple cushions all perfectly lined up facing the stage, I start to panic, because I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know it was this kind of a show. It's a concert. It's a concert. And I started to panic, because to do a show like that, a concert type show, where people aren't distracted with food and eating and talking with each other, that's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. And I was thinking people might be a little distracted eating and making small talk. So then I...
But no.
I went into
panic. We were
going to
be the focus of attention.
We.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was all right.
Oh,
it was all right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It was all right. But so what? There was probably maybe, what, 300? I mean, they had a really nice turnout for this this event. So
I
it went
300.
Yeah. So it went, you know, it went really well. The producers and the organizers, they got a full house. And so did the artists, obviously. And the other thing that I really came to realize after it was all over was like the age range of the audience was from like probably the youngest person was maybe 7, around there, right? 5?
Maybe 5.
And then the old, and then all the way, I mean, all the ages were represented. They had the young, really young kids, you know, not a lot of them, but, and then they had teenagers, a few more teenagers, a few college agers, middle age, and then the seniors. I mean, all the age ranges were represented.
Every age, yeah.
And yeah, it was really cool. Nice, yeah. It was really cool. And all age ranges were represented, too, in the line of audience members who wanted to have their merchandise signed afterwards. You know, because they set up a little table. The artists sit down at the table with the Sharpies and people line up, you know, with their CDs asking for signatures or even ukuleles. We got to sign a few ukuleles. But
I know.
Age ranges in that lineup. So it was really, really refreshing. I mean, you know, pretty cool.
It was so funny too, because Toast and I don't think we've ever been asked to sign an ook.
No.
We've signed a Daisy Rock guitar for a benefit. This was for a women's festival concert. But we've never been asked to sign an ook. And how many? We signed so many that night.
Yeah.
So we were thinking, you know, I don't know what we thought, but, you know, they were in line. They would ask Daniel and Herb to sign it. And then they would ask us to sign it. And we would be like, are you sure you want us to sign this? And they were like, we're sure. And they were so cute, huh?
Yeah, a lot of ukulele players in the audience.
Yeah, because, a lot.
Well, because Herb and Daniel are known for their work with ukulele, especially Herb.
Yes.
I mean, he's all about that. That's his thing. And Herb had actually conducted some ukulele workshops earlier that day. And a lot of those people had attended the workshops. So they were players, too.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
I was just going to say the ook is a great instrument to get into because it's a lower investment than a guitar, and it's also easier to learn to play and easier to transport and take with you, you know, camping or whatever kind of outings to the park or beach or whatever.
Yep. So anyway, so the gig was great. And the fun thing about this gig is that it didn't have a very formal like backstage area. They had a side stage area. So that's where we all kind of hung out and, you know, snacked and waited for our turn and stuff. But it's just so working with Daniel is just a silly fest. And that's what makes it fun, because you're not stressed out like how it can be when the nerves get to you for a concert type gig. And then you put Herb together with Daniel, then it's even sillier. So Herb is on first. The order was Herb played, then he introduced us, and then we played. Then there was a short intermission, and then Daniel came on. And so when Herb is playing, Daniel and there was also a hula dancer there.
We'll talk more about that.
We'll talk about that. And they were just so silly. And so we were all just laughing on the side. And every now and then Herb would look at us.
Give us an eye.
And that's just really unusual in when you're doing a performance. You know, normally people are in the back and everyone's kind of doing their own thing, like trying to get in the zone or whatever it is, but this was just lots of silliness, but that's what made it fun.
Yeah. And that was the whole tone of the audience too, which is, it's great to me. That's how music is at its best, I think. You know, it's a community happening.
And the thing too is that it was so quiet. It was so quiet.
But not backstage.
Not backstage. I know. We were kind of concerned. Like, I wonder if they can hear us. Oh, my God.
So unprofessional.
I know, but it was funny. Okay, so we have a musical treat for all of you.
I wanted to give you a little flavor of what an ukulele themed concert, sounds like. You don't hear that every day.
But this is a song that is on Daniel and Herb's latest CD. Well, Herb actually has an even newer one out, but as a duo project, this is their latest effort. And it's 2 to 3 feet, one of the series in their Ukuleles in Paradise collection. And we want to share a specific song with you that I love listening to them play.
It's called Pahala We Go. Pahala is a town on the south side of the Big Island of Hawaii.
And we go like,
let's go.
Let's go.
the pigeon version of let's go to Pahala.
So enjoy it, because this is actually my favorite song on the CD.
Pahala We Go. Like the show? Vote for us by going to girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com and clicking on vote.
Or write a review for us at iTunes. If you don't like the show, just keep it to yourself.
Okay, so we mentioned there was a hula dancer there. Her name is Nani, and she and her mother and her mother's hula troupe or hula halau works kind of closely with Daniel usually. So that's why they were there. They were going to participate in Daniel's set for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then as, you know, as we spent time with them before the show, just during sound check and getting dressed and all that stuff,
Well, Daniel pimped. Daniel pimped them out.
Oh, what did Daniel say?
Yeah, he said, "Oh, and if you want them to dance to anything, you guys got." He was pimping them out.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So, so they did. They actually ended
they were
up,
willing to be pimped.
They actually, yeah, danced. What three
numbers with
three
us.
Different songs yeah. that we drew up. We didn't even rehearse some of these beforehand. We didn't intend for these songs to be in the set.
And the thing about hula dancers is we're pretty much suckers for them in terms of if they're available and they want to dance, we're like right there. Like, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it's pretty much always just Toast and myself. Mm-hmm. So when we can add someone and it's especially if it's hula, we love that. And again, this is hula where those dancers aren't like sitting in Toast's lap or flirting with her. And this was not that kind of a situation. So, yes, please, dance.
So, like, what, half an hour?
Or less than half an hour.
20 minutes before the concert started.
We changed our whole set list.
Yeah, we're back there and preparing and working with Nani and her mom, Sylvia, to figure out, okay, what songs do they know? What's the best order to do them in, to give them time to change and all that stuff? And
it was fun.
Yeah. That really livened so things fun. Up for yeah. us, for sure. And not to mention the fact that we sang backup vocals for Daniel
okay.
on a few of his songs.
Now, Daniel...
Not having rehearsed
no,
it.
No, and Daniel is a last-minute kind of guy here. So anyways, what happened was Saturday night, I have a message on my phone that was left at like 10:50 p.m.
So this is like... Less than 24 hours before the concert.
Way less. And he's all like, oh, I was wondering if you guys can sing backup for me on this one song. And, you know, so he leaves this long message. So when we get home, I call him back because I know he stays up late. So call him back and I said, oh, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, we'll sing that as long as we have time to go through it before, you know, because we don't want to. Make a fool of ourselves.
As much as possible.
As much as possible.
We do what we can, you know.
We don't want to make a fool of ourselves.
We try.
So so he's all, okay, yeah, we'll have time. And that's why we had to go early. But anyways, so I'm like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And he goes, oh, but what about this other song? What about that one? You think you guys can do that song too? And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah. Just as long as we can go over it. Okay. Oh, wait, but you know what? It'd be so good if you guys can sing on this other song, too. We're like, oh, my. So we ended up singing on four songs.
And we got to go through three of them before the actual for real concert performance of it. And the fourth one.
We just went up there and winged it.
God. Oh, boy.
Why? But, you know, because the concert was... It felt so low pressure and it was just really done in a light spirit. Mm-hmm. We could accept and do that because, you know.
The tone lent itself.
The tone, yeah, it was fine.
To that.
So,
which is
a great time.
Which is partly why I say it's the best independent music scene ever.
Ever. And it was so hilarious because... gosh, sorry, there's a cat moment here. So we were playing in a gym and apparently I don't know who and what the arrangements are and stuff, but we needed to get out by a certain time. So here we are signing at the table and we're trickling down to the last few people. So right after the last signature, someone grabs a table and here comes the floor being peeled off and up and... Me, Toast, Daniel, and her were jumping in the air.
Dancing. The floor is moving up.
Because
from
they're ripping the floor off, and we're like, okay, all right, woohoo, that's fun. So it was really funny.
Yeah.
And then we sold a good amount of CDs, mm-hmm. took pictures with people, which is always nice, especially when they're little. Because I think that's just the cutest
it's cute.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then we also had someone say to us, oh, you know, I've been following, kind of following you folks since blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you guys don't have too much on YouTube. And, you know, so when I heard you were going to be here today, I had to come. And so every time we hear something like that, we always wonder, when it's a girl, we wonder, I wonder if she's gay.
But we didn't have the guts to ask
her. We couldn't ask her. And she's Asian. And so we thought, you know, because there aren't many gay Asian people out there that you have access to that, you know.
That you know they're
that
gay.
You can, yeah, that.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that can kind of, you feel validated by.
Like, where's the community of gay Asian people, right?
Right.
Is that
right.
what you mean? Like, you kind can go of. To, like, you can go to, like, a gay bar, but. It's like, where's your the people who look Asian so that you can feel less, like, weird?
Or feel validated.
Yeah.
So,
like, not only are you gay, but you're Asian, too.
Yes, toast.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, so we did wonder, like, I wonder if she's gay. And she kind of lingered, yeah?
Yeah.
So I told her, I said, hey, email us. You know, so I could find out.
Right. From the comfort and safety
of email.
Of the distance of email. Yeah.
Anyway, she was very sweet. And it's just interesting who you will meet at these events, because we met people who heard us when we first started out. So that's always nice because you would like to think that, well, we would like to think that we've gotten better and that they can see our growth. And feel proud of us. So it was a very nice evening. And we ended the evening by all going to the nearest place to eat, which was Claim Jumper.
I had a baked potato.
I had a veggie burger.
And on the drive home.
Oh, we took Herb. We took Herb back to his hotel. Right near our house.
Right. He was on the way home for us. Totally on the way home. And it wasn't a sleepy drive at all.
It was just hilarious. We were just laughing so much.
So alert and up. And we talked about God and religion and being,
talked
you know, being a parent and like meaningful stuff. But, you know, it was cool, man.
So we drop. So we drop Herb off. Okay. And he has kind of lots of stuff, but enough that he can just go in by himself. But I get out of the car, you know, because you hug and say goodbye. Right. So.
It's still windy.
Oh, my God. It was so windy. It was so windy. And I had a really thin scarf on. I was using it as a scarf, but it was kind of like, I think it was made out of some kind of a silk blend that you can kind of use as a shawl as well. So
yeah, it's pretty big.
Anyways, I used it as a scarf. But I get out, say goodbye to Herb. I'm going back in the car. My scarf flies right in my face and sticks right on my face, on my eyelashes. And I'm looking at Toast, and all Toast sees is a brown face.
And it's covering your face. It's covering your face, and it's flying up behind you.
And I'm going, look, Toast, look. I wonder if anyone thinks it's funny.
And it's
I
like.
I think they had to be there.
Maybe it's one of those things. And that was like, what, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, it was past one. Give me a break. Yeah. And then Herb had to drive out to San Diego early in the morning to do more workshops out there.
Yep. That's a working musician for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then Monday.
What happened Monday?
Lucky for us, we didn't have any workshops to do or anything like that because, you know, we're pretty useless on Monday.
Yeah, we arranged... Yeah. Our whole schedule so that we could sleep in.
Yeah.
We didn't plan to do that, but
we did. We could.
Okay.
But we did.
And, but going back to Saturday night, which was a luau, we got to eat
leaves.
And it was so yummy. We got to eat lau leaves and rice.
I didn't get any poi, though.
Did they have poi?
If they did, I didn't have any. But, you know.
How come you didn't go
It's okay. But yeah, it was good.
But, you know, it was such a sad, very sad, sad sight because here Toast and myself were sitting there, right? eating our plates. And okay, what's on the plate? We'll tell you. Had kalua pig. We don't eat that, right? But it was a generous helping of kalua pig. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then there's our lau lau, right? Mm-hmm. And then had chicken long rice. Mm-hmm. It had a bowl of fruit and rice and mac salad. Mm-hmm. And I think there was probably poi somewhere.
Yeah, I think so too.
But what was so sad was Tosin and I love lau lau, the leaves. We love that taste and everything. Love it. Like it's so good on rice. Mm. Poor us, because this lau lau, okay, unlike a lot of Hawaii lau lau that has like choke leaves.
Mostly leaves.
And like a tiny little meat in there. Mm-hmm. This one had like big meat and hardly any leaves. And by the time we finished scraping, we just had these mounds of meat on our plate. Yeah. And it was so sad because we kept going back to the lau lau to see maybe there's a little leaf.
Just scrape off a little
scraping
leaf.
More scrape, leaves.
Scrape, scrape. Oh, look, a little bit leaf. little bit kind.
But it was so good. And yeah. Someone needs to make a vegetarian one.
Someone does. I think someone does.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Yeah. It was so good. And all we needed was chili pepper water. Mm. It was so good. It was so good. It was so good. And I saved some of my fruit for our rat, Shammy. Not Shamwow. Shammy. And he loved it.
Yeah. So he got to eat lau lau. I mean, luau food too.
He had cantaloupe.
Yeah. Alrighty. So those are the tales from the gig weekend.
Yep.
It was good fun. Fun. Alrighty. Let's see. Something else. Just wanted to close things out for all of you all. You know, probably a lot of you have been hearing comments and talk in your daily lives too about how, you know, oh yeah, people are, they're just desperate these days because of this economic climate that we're in, you know. And I noticed on the comments for the last episode, episode 90, Queen, one of the listeners, had posted about how she had a package delivered to her house through UPS. And she could tell, because, you know, they track things, that it was placed on her doorstep or between the two doors of her door at 6:01 p.m. And that her partner, or wife, excuse me, they're married, yeah. Her wife, Kathy, arrived home at 6:05 p.m., but there was no package there. So the only conclusion is that, you know, somebody within those short few minutes walked up to her house and took the package. And she says that's the first time that has ever happened to her. Yeah. I mean, she's been living there for over 16 years, never once had a problem with any, you know, package delivery.
You know what? You know what? I actually heard too recently that another listener, they were celebrating a birthday and someone had sent them a card in the mail.
That's right.
And they sent them actually a card, and in the card there was a gift card. Mm-hmm. But when they received the card, there was a small slit in the side of the envelope, and no gift card.
Was gone.
Yeah. So, you know, and also I didn't tell you this.
Okay.
But here, I'll tell you now while everyone's listening.
Yeah, tell me in front of everybody.
Yeah, okay. Toast and I order a skincare line that just has kind of an auto ship every, I think it's like every 2 months or every 3 months. And so when I was paying the bills, I saw, oh, okay, they charged us. So normally the charge, by the time I see the charge, we already received the package. So I saw the charge and we didn't get the package. So I don't know. We have to check up on that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think, you know, things are very challenging right now. Mm-hmm. And so we all have to do, to work harder to just rise above.
Yes.
Rise above all of this stuff, because we know how tough it is.
And I'm sure that each one of you, everybody listening, has heard similar stories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the blame is being placed on, oh, this is just, these are desperate times. You know, people are getting desperate. So they're taking desperate measures and doing that sort of thing.
That's not an excuse.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and that just makes me think of the fact that it really does seem like changes in people's economic situations just really amplifies whatever character that they already have. If they're generous, they're going to be, you know, they'll be able to be more generous.
Right.
If they're,
right.
If they're, you know, shady characters, they're just going to
be, shady.
They're just going to let the shadiness come out.
Yeah.
Because, you yeah. know, so let's...
Let's stick together.
Yeah, let's stick together. Let's hold encourage one another. High. And let's focus on the better angels of our nature.
Yeah.
That's just, I just wanted to put that out there because I know.
That's good.
You know, I mean.
That's good.
We've all heard what's going on out there. And yeah. Okay. Okay then.
All right. So we want to say congratulations to all the winners for the contest. So you can email us your information, and we'll let you know when we send those out to you.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Mahalo. That's it.
Take care. Have a good one. And we'll see you next month with the vegetarian series.
Oh, and for all of you who vote, we're number two. And we want to thank Mel.
Yeah, thanks for voting.
Mel everybody. And Viv, who's been on totally like, she's like.
Like Vote Patrol.
Yes. Mel is the president of Vote Patrol. Viv is the vice president of Vote Patrol. We have a committee. So just want to let you guys know that because of those of you who voted, and especially Mel and Viv, we are number two. So, wow.
Whoa, brother.
Like Oprah says, I have to now dream another dream. But anyways, so April is coming upon us and we can start all over again.
Okay, people.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.